Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Saturday, May 30th, and there's a very good chance you're holding a cup of coffee right now, or you already finished one, or you're about to go make one. About 90% of American adults consume caffeine every single day, which makes it the most widely psychoactive drug on the planet. I just called your morning coffee a drug, and your first instinct was probably to push back on that, because coffee doesn't feel like a drug. It feels like a normal part of being a functioning person. And that reaction, the fact that calling it a drug feels like an overstatement, even though it pharmacologically is one, is actually the most interesting thing about caffeine. It's a substance that alters your brain chemistry, creates physical dependence, causes withdrawal symptoms when you stop, and is so deeply embedded in the global economy that your employer gives it to you for free. No other drug in the world has that arrangement. So here's what happens when you drink a cup of coffee. And once you understand this, you might never look at your mug the same way again. Throughout the day, your brain produces a molecule called adenosine. Adenosine is basically your brain's way of keeping track of how long you've been awake. The longer you're up, the more adenosine accumulates. And as it builds up, it binds to adenosine receptors on your neurons. And when it does that, it slows those neurons down. That's the feeling of getting tired. So by the end of the day, you have so much adenosine bound to so many receptors that your brain is essentially saying, "We're done, time to go to sleep." And when you do sleep, your brain clears the adenosine out and you wake up feeling refreshed because the slate has been wiped. Caffeine works because it happens to be shaped almost exactly like adenosine at the molecular level. When you drink coffee, the caffeine molecules rush into your brain and park themselves in the adenosine receptors. But unlike adenosine, caffeine doesn't slow anything down. It just sits there, blocking the real adenosine from binding. So your brain has been awake for 6 hours and has produced 6 hours worth of "you should be getting tired" signals. But those signals can't land because caffeine is occupying all the parking spots. So instead of feeling tired, you feel alert. The adenosine is still there and it's still accumulating, but you just can't feel it. This is also why coffee doesn't actually give you energy. That's a misconception most people carry around. Because caffeine doesn't actually add anything to your system, it just blocks your brain's ability to detect how tired you already are. The energy you feel after a cup of coffee is your own energy unmasked. When the caffeine eventually wears off and clears out those receptors, all the adenosine that's been piling up behind the dam floods in all at once, and that's the crash. You didn't really lose energy, you just borrowed this alertness from your future self and the bill came due. Your brain also does something in response to daily caffeine use that explains why your first cup of coffee in college hit different than the one you had this morning. When your brain notices that its adenosine receptors keep getting blocked, it just adapts by growing more receptors, literally builds new ones. So let's say caffeine is going to block 20 receptors, your brain figures it'll just make 30, so that the remaining 10 can still do their job. This is tolerance. And it's one of the defining features of drug dependence. You now need more caffeine to get the same effect because your brain has physically restructured itself around the drug. And if you stop drinking coffee entirely, all those extra receptors are suddenly wide open with no caffeine blocking them, and the adenosine binds to every single one of them. So now, blood vessels in your brain dilate because adenosine naturally widens them, and the excess blood flow causes a pounding headache, and that's withdrawal. I decided to do a dry January this year where I gave up coffee instead of alcohol, and I had withdrawal symptoms in the beginning. For most people, it starts 12 to 24 hours after their last cup of coffee and peaks about 2 days in. About 13% of regular caffeine users experience withdrawal severe enough to interfere with work. There's a version of the story that stays in the biology lane and talks about half-lives and liver metabolism, but I think the more interesting question is how a psychoactive substance that creates dependence and withdrawal became so normal that offices put it in the break room like it's water. The answer, kind of like we talked about in some of the AI episodes, is productivity gains. Caffeine makes you more alert, more focused, and faster at cognitive tasks, at least in the short term. And the cost of providing it is negligible compared to the output it generates. A bag of coffee for the office costs maybe $30, but the collective productivity boost it provides across a dozen employees is worth vastly more than that. Your employer isn't just being nice by stocking the break room, they're making an investment that pays for itself before lunch. And this isn't really a modern arrangement either, because coffee and labor have been linked since the drink spread out of the Middle East in the 1600s. Before coffee arrived in Europe, the most common beverages consumed during the day were beer and wine. People drank alcohol at breakfast, at lunch, and throughout the workday, partly because clean water was unreliable, and partly because that was just what people drank. When coffee showed up, it replaced the depressant with a stimulant, and the effect on productivity was noticeable almost immediately. European coffee houses in the 17th and 18th centuries became centers of business, science, and political organizing. Lloyd's of London, the insurance market, started as a coffee house. The London Stock Exchange also started as a coffee house. The origin of coffee itself comes from a story that may or may not be true, but is too good to not mention. According to Ethiopian legend, a 9th century goat herder named Kaldi noticed his goats dancing and refusing to sleep after eating red berries from a particular tree. He brought the berries to a local monastery, the monks brewed them into a drink, and discovered it kept them alert during evening prayers. From Ethiopia, coffee spread to Yemen, then to the rest of the Arab world, and then to Europe, and eventually to go to every other country on earth, because it's now the second most traded commodity in the world, after oil. 500 billion cups are consumed every year, and the global industry is worth over $100 billion. The thing about caffeine that I find the hardest to stop thinking about is the self-reinforcing nature of the whole cycle. Caffeine withdrawals cause headaches, fatigue, irritability, and difficulty concentrating. The fastest way to relieve those symptoms is to just drink more caffeine, which means that a significant portion of the benefit you feel from your morning cup isn't actually a boost above your baseline. It's a return to baseline after a night of withdrawal. You feel terrible without coffee, and then coffee makes you feel normal. And you interpret that as coffee making you feel good, but it's partly solving a problem that it created. Researchers have tested this by giving regular caffeine users a placebo for several days, letting them go through withdrawal, and then giving them caffeine again. The boost they reported from the caffeine was almost entirely a reversal of the withdrawal symptoms, not an improvement over their pre-caffeine baseline. Which means that if you'd never started drinking coffee, you'd feel in the morning roughly the way you feel after your first cup now. The coffee isn't making you superhuman. It's maintaining a dependency cycle that you no longer remember entering. Look, I'm not saying you should stop drinking coffee. I'm definitely not going to. I actually love it for the taste. And the research on coffee's long-term health effects is actually quite positive, so that also makes me feel good. It's associated with lower rates of several diseases, improved cardiovascular health in moderate doses, and a reduced risk of certain neurodegenerative conditions. Caffeine is, as drugs go, remarkably safe, but it's worth understanding what's actually happening here when you take that first sip in the morning. You are not waking up. You're just administering a dose of the world's most popular psychoactive substance to quiet the withdrawal symptoms from yesterday's dose. And then your boss refills the pot for free, because the whole economy depends on you doing it again tomorrow. So as you're listening to me bash caffeine as you're either making your morning cup of coffee or actually drinking it, here's what you should think about. Caffeine works by blocking adenosine receptors in your brain, which prevents you from feeling how tired you actually are. It doesn't give you energy, it just hides your fatigue. And over time, your brain grows more receptors to compensate, which is tolerance. And when you stop consuming caffeine, all those extra receptors flood with adenosine at once, which is withdrawal. About 90% of adults consume it daily. And your employer provides it for free because the productivity boost pays for itself before lunch. Coffee replaced beer and wine as Europe's daytime drink in the 1600s and arguably fueled the Enlightenment. And a good chunk of the alertness you feel from your morning cup is just your body recovering from the overnight withdrawal. The drug is real, and the dependence is also real. And nobody calls it that because the entire global economy runs on you staying hooked. Enjoy your Saturday, stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.